The following sermon was delivered by Associate Pastor Reverend Natalie Owens Pike in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Reverend Natalie Owens Pike.
This winter, your clergy have been exploring the roles of each figure of the nativity scene. From Mary and Joseph to the shepherds keeping watch, we have learned from their paths to the manger, from their witness of Jesus, the Christ child, the newborn king. We have asked, what do those who witnessed the arrival of God in their midst have to teach us now, those of us looking for God's presence in our lives, looking for God's teachings in our faith and in our hearts? And today, we turn to the nativity characters who take the longest road to the manger, the Magi. These three wise ones follow a star, searching for the King of Kings, for a ruler in a newborn babe, a king who will act as shepherd, teacher, savior, in a land of empire where kings were gods and tyrants. So let us listen now for the wisdom of these traveling magi as it comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew in the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. These magi, we tell their story, we sing of them, we know them as well-worn figurines perched in our nativity scenes. We know them as costumed characters in our Christmas pageants. But we don't know too many particulars about who they are or what happens to them after they defy Herod's orders. We are inspired by them in the Star Word ritual we will practice today, when during the offertory we'll invite you to come forward and select a star out of a basket of other paper stars that we hope will become a focal point for you, a pinprick of light, a word that can guide your prayer and reflection for the year ahead. Just as the Magi followed the star until it led them to Jesus, so may this practice draw you closer to God in our midst and be an anchor for you on all of your paths this year. So in this season, we sing, "What child is this?" We sing, "We three kings whose wise men enter on bended knee." We sing of their precious gifts and their fragrant myrrh, symbols of luxury and materials for one to show devotion to God, incense for an altar and acknowledgement that the newborn baby they bow to will be known as King of Kings. No, we don't know their names or specifically where they come from, but we know they are subject to Herod's secret calling in the night. Scholars assume they were astrologers or perhaps dream interpreters, a form of priest employed by the court to predict the ways of power's movement for those who held it in brittle fists. Just as one in power now might look to headlines in the press or likes on social media or seek out sycophantic mirrors to say, "No, your power will not be challenged. Let your bombs fall where they may." We know the Magi are under orders to report their findings. They are under the expectations of empire to fall in line, but they do not. They dream. They hear in messages of stars an invitation to collaborate with forces bigger than their own lives, bigger than empire's power. They are invited to travel home by another road, a revolutionary act of evasion, omission, to protect the Christ child, born to topple hierarchies, born King of Kings. And yet the threat of political retribution and violence hangs in the air here in these verses. We learn later in this chapter of the violence that this defiance of Herod's orders brought to other babes in and around Bethlehem. That brittle clutching to hierarchy of power threatened many vulnerable ones, and the Magi could not protect them. I think this is why I connect so deeply to the image of the Christ child, Jesus as a newborn babe. In the seasons of Advent and Christmas, I find myself frequently moved to tears as we sing of the image of Jesus as a baby, meek and mild, so inspired that God joins us on earth as a tender newborn, born into the full and embodied knowledge of our own tenderness and need, born into the systems of power that would oppose his thriving, born into the world in solidarity with the oppressed, with every babe in Bethlehem who died by the threats of Herod, born that he could come to offer a different road to travel, a different path to walk in love. This year, we read the story of the Magi who seek him, tender and newborn, yes, the Magi who kneel not just in reverence, but in recognition of how different it is to hold power through love, to wield power without force, to receive the homage of devotion not because we are made to do so, not because of the requirements of weak egos, not because of thinly veiled lies that do not fool us into thinking an emperor would kneel before a poor refugee baby. No, these Magi do not kneel because they fear what will happen if they do not. Did you catch this part? They kneel because they are overcome with joy. They kneel in the place their guiding star points them to. They went out of their way to adore him, and it is there they decide to take the long road home, to take the harder way against their instructions and maybe their more logical judgment. They set out by another road, not knowing where it will lead. inviting us to ask, what does it take for us to go home by another road? This past week, I was lucky to spend a few days after Christmas with dear friends and family in rural Wisconsin, where my dad lives. We celebrated New Year's together. We took long walks through deep snow. It was 5 degrees, and it snowed more than a foot, and it was glorious. I loved it. You know I love winter. It did give me a little bit of this Christmas cold, but it was worth it. There were many moments where I was called on to kneel in joy, to bend over belly laughing. It was wondrous. One of the nights we were there, a big storm moved through overnight, left behind nearly a foot of snow and covered all of the trees in this glorious, sticky, white, beautiful snow. It looked like a Christmas card. It looked like a watercolor painting of a winter wonderland. It looked like a Californian parking lot filled with flocked trees. Have you seen those before? And my dad and I were leaving in the morning to pick up some more friends in town, driving much more cautiously than we normally do. We even chose the route that we took based on which roads we thought would be plowed better, with fewer steeper hills. But just a few minutes into that route, at the bottom of a hill, there was this huge oak tree covering the entire road, completely blocking any way through, and we had to turn around, which required a dicey, many-pointed turn in deep snow, and this isn't a Tesla sedan, okay? It's not really built for four-wheel drive. To slowly crawl back up the steep and icy hill and drive more miles to the other steeper, icier hill with more blind spots and potential for winter dangers. But while we were on our detour, my dad picked up the phone and called his neighbor to let her know that this tree was down on the road between their properties. And without hesitation, her immediate response was, "Will a tractor clear it, or do I need to bring the chainsaw?" So Wisconsin, I love it. By the time we drove by, again, that good old oak tree had been chainsawed into logs for the fire, cleaned up and moved away. You could barely tell where it had fallen. If you have to make a detour, you want a good neighbor by your side when you do it. There is no single magi in this story. These three, they must have needed each other to take that other road, to choose to detour, to lend each other the courage they needed to defy the orders of power, to set forth somewhere they did not know well. I know many among us have taken these detours of courage, uncharted paths of our lives lit dimly by just one movable star, paths we don't know the name of yet, paths we never expected to walk, the path of a job hunt late in our careers, the path of living in a new city where we don't know anyone yet, the road that takes us through family separation or divorce, through disease or the death of loved ones. The path through all the intensity and ups and downs of parenthood, or the path of deep longing to know those ups and downs. And what have we found there when we have sought solace on an unknown path, a solution on a road that is blocked? Have we found through prayer, through seeking God's presence, through asking friends to lend us their courage on the way, have we found that friends will come over with the New York City equivalent of their chainsaw or their tractor? Have we found that some bright and small joy has overcome us enough to bring us to our knees? one of the ways we invite you to do this kind of looking in the year ahead is by prayerfully choosing your star word today. During the offertory anthem, we'll invite you to come forward and draw a simple star from the basket. Or if you're worshiping online, to open that envelope that we sent you in the mail. And you'll choose a word that will guide you for this year. We hope it will be a little bit of light for you, a direction, an intention for your prayer life, a way to look for God in the year ahead. It might take a whole year for its meaning to appear. One of you told me this morning that it was just this December that it finally clicked for you why your star word was what you received all the way back in January. So we invite you to trust in this small light on whatever paths lay ahead, to look with the focus of a spirit-polished lens, and to ask for accompaniment on your journey in prayer and in fellowship, so that each of us, interconnected, will light the way to the glory of the Lord. Friends, take with you this blessing as you leave this sacred place. May the God who lights our way be a beacon to you on all days, and may the word of your star challenge and comfort you and show to you God's light for the year to come. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.